A couple of weeks ago, we went on our family holiday to Ireland, and we arrived at the ferry terminal at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we boarded the boat, and we set sail for Belfast. And the day boat is great. There's loads of exciting things to do when you're on the day boat. You can look out the window, you can see the sea, and you can wait for 8 hours. But no, seriously, the day boat is great. There's loads of things for the kids to do. There's children's entertainers. There's a cinema. Becky took Hannah to the cinema, and I said, I'll look after Noah. And the minute they went, he fell asleep. He doesn't sleep in the day anymore. I read my book for 2 hours. He woke up just before they arrived back. I thought, oh, he's been hard work today. But the boat's great. All the children on the boat get entered into a prize draw. And at 1:30, we'd just finished our lunch, and we were sat on the boat, and an announcement came over the tannoy, which said this: would the parents of Hannah Jennings bring her to guest services? One of us had to go. And Becky's halfway through saying, do you want to stay or shall I stay? Apparently, I was already on my feet and gone. So take Hannah to guest services, and we meet the manager of the boat. And he says, congratulations, today you have won the prize of being the captain for the day. So they dress Hannah in a captain's hat. They give her a jacket that looked a little bit like the one that Becky put on Heidi before. It was massive, with the four stripes of a ship's captain on the shoulder. And they told us a load of kind of facts about the boat and how fast it went and all this. It was proper geek territory. I loved it. It was great. And then they took us up to a door which said, no unauthorized access. And we walked through the door quietly because the night staff were sleeping. And we walked into a room where a man called Peter shook our hand. And Peter was the nautical master of the boat. He was the ship's captain. He knows those seas greater than anybody else. And for that moment, he said, Hannah, you are now the captain of the ship. And he took her around the bridge of the boat. And we had to look, it was hard work for me, I'm sure you can imagine. We had to look around at what all the buttons did. Hannah got to sit in the seat. Did you know there's a 360 panoramic view in those ferries around? There's a glass floor so that the pilot can see how close he is to the side when they're moving the boat into the side of the port. For a moment, Hannah was allowed to steer the ship. We had a close encounter with the Isle of Man, but we were okay. But he takes her to the front of the boat and he says to her, do you see that thing down there on the front, that big white chain? What do you think that's for? And Hannah's overwhelmed by this, so she doesn't really answer. And he says, that white chain is called the anchor. And he said, the anchor is really important because when we get to the place we need to be, we put the anchor down in the rock. And the anchor holds us in the rock so that we can get ready for where we're next going to go. The title of the message this morning is Anchor. Because 12 months ago tomorrow, we officially became Hope Community Church Aintree. And so today I want to speak on what it means to be Hope Community Church Aintree. In fact, you'll have heard some of this before 12 months ago. I make no apologies for that. And I make no apologies that on this Sunday in 12 months' time, we will again drop the anchor and we will share the same thing again. What does it mean to be Hope Community Church Aintree? Why? Because it's important that we're grounded on some of the core beliefs of who we are and what we're about as a church. So what is it that we put our anchor in? What is it that we're rooted on? Well, as a church, we believe that God created the universe. We believe in God the Father. We believe that when God created human beings, he had an ideal plan and promise for their lives. But as human beings, we went away from that plan. And because of that, humanity was separated from God, and there was no way that humanity could get to God. So we also believe in Jesus Christ, because God sent his son Jesus into the world to pay the price upon the cross, to have that separation from his Father in death so that we did not have to. And 3 days later, he rose again, and he is alive, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe in Jesus. And we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave is at work in you and I. And we believe in his gifts and his power and his moving for today. We also believe in the importance of the church. It's important to gather together as God's people, as his children, as his family. The church is a body. That means we all have a part to play in the life of the church. That's really important for us. We believe in the things that Jesus told us to do. We believe in baptism. We believe in sharing bread and wine together in communion. Where's our anchor dropped? It's dropped on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Hope Community Church Aintree. What does that mean for us? Well, the word hope means to have faith and expectation. When we look in the Bible, where the word hope is used in the New Testament, the Greek word is the word elpis. And what that means is to have favorable expectation. It means a belief that something will happen. It's a positive expression. It's a belief that the best is yet to come. But also when we begin to look at that word and that root of that, hope is not a thing. Hope is a person. Hope is the person of Jesus Christ. So for us to be a church that is called Hope means we believe in Jesus. We believe that the best is yet to come. We believe that the hope of Jesus has the power to transform communities, to heal a broken world. And we believe that hope is really important. That's why we're called Hope, because our hope is grounded in the person of Jesus Christ. Hope, community. Well, what is community about? There's really kind of three things in what it means for community. Firstly, community is who we are. Community is who we are. We are a bunch of different people gathered together and united. We're a community. We're on a journey together. We're a church that is on mission together. So community is who we are. We come from different walks and different backgrounds, but we are together united in our belief in Jesus Christ. So we are together as community. We gather together as community, as family. Community is who we are. Community is also where we are. Community is where we are. God has placed us in this location because he has a purpose. He has a purpose and a plan for the people of Aintree Village, for the community of Aintree Village. And he's placed us here to be part of the community of Aintree. Community is who we are. It's where we are. And community is also who we are for. We are for the people of this community. We want to see the good news of Jesus spread across Aintree Village. We want people to know the love of God. We want people to see it in what we say and in what we do. We want God to move and send revival to this world, and we want it to start here in Aintree. In fact, we want it to start here with me. Hope, community. Church. Church is the body of Christ. Each and every one of us has a part to play. And as a body, everything in the body has a function. Apart from the appendix, but no one's called to be the appendix in the church. We all have a part to play. We're the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. I had the privilege of taking my friend's wedding on a Monday. Brides take ages to get ready. And as the church, we're still getting ready. But one day, Jesus, the bridegroom, will return. And we will be with him for eternity. Hope Community Church, Aintree. Aintree is the place God has called us to be. Aintree is the place that we are passionate about. Our missional communities, all that we do out of this place, isn't to necessarily benefit the whole of the city, although it's great if that happens. It's to see the kingdom come in Aintree. Hope Community Church, Aintree. There's a little area where the anchor thing falls down. When an anchor is down, nothing moves. We're never going to be a thing that doesn't move. We're a church. We're a living body. God calls us to move. He calls us to go. We shared on that last week. But the anchor is really important because it reminds us who we are and where we are. For that ferry, it drops its anchor and people get on, and then it goes on a journey. And then it drops its anchor and people get on and it goes on a journey. We remember who we are. We remember who we're called to be as the Lord then sends us out. That's why we gather together on Sundays. So if the anchor is the foundation of Jesus that we are rooted in, the person of Jesus Christ, a belief in the hope of Jesus, if the church is the ship, let's never be a comfortable cruise ship for Christians. Let's be a lifeboat for the lost. Let's be a church that is, yes, passionate about reaching God and striving for God and going closer to God, but let's be passionate about the people whom God has called us to reach. And I want us to ground this in Scripture. And for me, the verse that really speaks of this is Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you. We're Hope Community Church Aintree. We work out our mission based on our core values. And our core values are this, that we will grow up into God. We will grow up into God. We will grow in our personal daily devotional walk into God. We will read the Word of God. We'll pray together. Prayer is so important. Please join us at 7 o'clock tonight. It's so important that we grow up into God as a people of prayer. That we will grow through our Bible study, that we will meet together in our study groups, whether it's through our missional communities or small groups, and we will grow together. We'll grow others on the journey. We'll disciple others. We'll invest in the next generation because they're the church of today, not the church of tomorrow. We will grow up into God. We will give into the life of the church, that we will give of our time and our talents and our resources to see the furthering of the kingdom. But we will also give of ourselves to one another. We will gather regularly. We will grow as people into people of extravagant worship as we give of the whole of ourselves to all of who God is. And we will go out into the world. We will go and lead godly lives. Whatever God has called you to do when you're not in this place, whether you work, whether you're retired, whether you're a stay-at-home dad or stay-at-home mum, whether you're a grandparent, whatever the Lord has called you to do, go and do it with godly values. Go and do it reflecting Jesus Christ. Let's be active in demonstrating the gospel of Jesus, and let's be active in declaring the gospel of Jesus. We will grow up into God. We will give into the life of the church, and we will go out into the world. Let's look at these three things in a little bit more detail. Firstly, we will grow up into God. And I want us to look at the bit of the verse this morning that says, may the God of hope fill you. Because as we grow up into God, I believe that God fills us. But the more we step out in faith, the more God reveals to us, that we grow closer to him, the more we read his word, the more we worship him, the more we pray, the closer he draws us to him. Have you ever had that moment on Christmas morning where either you or your family have been tearing open the presents and it's really exciting, and maybe you received that one gift that you've always wanted, and you get there and you get out of the packaging and you switch it on and nothing happens. And as you pull out the instructions, you notice those small letters at the bottom, batteries not included. You've got everything you need. It will do the job it needs to do, but there's no power behind it. God has called you. God has equipped you, and we grow up into God. But I believe that God wants to fill us with the power of his Holy Spirit. And I believe that as God fills us, he gives us the power to go out into the world. That as we grow into God, he fills us with the power that we need. Romans 15 verse 5 says this, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind to each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement. As we grow up into God, I believe these two things are really important for us. Endurance is the ability to press on and to keep going no matter what. Endurance is the ability to say, when this is great, I will celebrate. And when this is hard, Lord, I will keep trusting in you. Endurance is the ability to press on no matter what else is going on, that we will grow deeper and closer to God. We can give our life to Jesus. We can call ourselves a Christian. But if we never open his word, if we never pray, if we never gather together as the church, we won't grow very well in him. We have to press on. It has to be an active thing. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3 from verse 12. He's listed all of his credentials. He says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We grow up into God. We are called heavenward. But we have to press on. We have to be active in our lives as Christians together. But also there's moments in life where things are going to be really hard. And so we will press on and we will endure because there's a great promise. And the promise of Revelation 21 verse 4 is this: He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Endurance is the ability to press on, to say life is great, I'm going to press into God because when life is good, God is good. Endurance is the ability to say, even when life is hard, I will press into God, even if I have to force myself, because when life is hard, God is still good. So I will press on to him, and I will cling on to that hope of what is coming. When we were away, we spent a few days staying with some friends of ours, some great friends of ours, and they've got two small children, the same age as our two children. And mealtimes were great fun, as they are when families gather together around a table, as we have just done. And the mealtimes were great fun. We would finish our food, we'd probably have seconds, and the two boys, the little ones, they would just be like, the boys eat really well. The boys would eat all their food, and then when they'd had enough, they would tip their bowls out, and they would make a mess, but they'd eaten all they needed. The girls, on the other hand, they were like, well, I don't like peas. Well, I don't like peas either. Well, I don't like sweet corn. I don't like sweet corn either. I don't like rice. I don't like rice either. Would you just eat your dinner, please? And it got to the point where we were starting to say some of those things that you say as parents. If you don't eat your dinner, you are not having dessert. And it didn't work. So we had to get more specific. If you eat all your dinner, you can have ice cream with sauce on it. And all of a sudden, Hannah started to eat her dinner, but her friend would not. And so Hannah, in the loudest voice possible, says this: I'm going to eat all my dinner because I want the prize of ice cream. And I don't like this food. And at that moment, I was like, where is that hole in the ground to swallow me up? Thank you so much for cooking this delicious meal that my daughter does not like. But she had her eyes fixed on the prize. And as Christians, we too are called to be people who have our eyes fixed on the prize, that even if we don't like something, even if life is tough in some way, we will press on and we will grow up into God. We will be people who are people of extravagant worship, who worship God with the whole of our lives because we believe the best is yet to come. Graham Kendrick, the worship leader, wrote this: worship has been misunderstood as something that arises from a feeling which comes on you. But it is vital that we understand that worship is rooted in a conscious act of the will to serve and obey the Lord Jesus. Worship is not something we do. It is a choice we make. It is a position of our heart that says, I choose to be someone, whether something is great or something is hard, I choose to be someone who sets my heart on the fact that the best is yet to come. Because we believe in God, and God is good. Ravi Zacharias, the apologist, said this: there are no unique postures, times, or limitations that restrict our access to God. The Christian does not go to the temple to worship. The Christian takes the temple with them. Jesus lifts us beyond the building and pays the human body the highest compliment by making it his dwelling place, the place where he meets with us. We will grow up into God. We will choose to be a people of extravagant worship. We will celebrate when we are here on Sundays. We will pray together. We will meet together and we will study through the week. Why? Because we're Hope Community Church Aintree and we will grow up into God. Secondly, we will give into the life of the church. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. I love that two-letter word, as. The God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. It's as we trust in him, it's as we step out in him, that God releases that joy and that peace into our lives. And the disciples were people who had to trust in Jesus. And Jesus knew that a time was coming. When he was here on the earth, he knew the time was coming when he would no longer be with his disciples. And in John chapter 17, Jesus prays the most incredible prayer. He prays the most incredible prayer for his disciples, that God would protect them, that they would be people who would be bold and courageous, that they wouldn't be taken out of the world, but they would be left in the world because God was working his purposes out through them. And Jesus then continues the prayer in John 17 from verse 20. And he shifts the prayer from those 12 men in a room to be for us today. John 17 from verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone, the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's you and I. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. We will give of ourselves into the life of the church. And as we do that, we give ourselves to one another. Why? Because it's when that unity comes that the world will know the love of God. Jesus says, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me. When people outside this building see the love that we have for one another, when they come into this cafe, when they come into this building, when they see and experience the love of God in this place, they should be drawn to him. But we have to give of ourselves. So we will give of our time and our talents and our resources. We will serve. I want to encourage you, if you don't serve in church life right now, we are a body. And for a body to function effectively, everyone needs to play a part. Serve in the life of the church. Find out what you're passionate about. Join a missional community. Start a missional community with what you're passionate about, that others may see the glory and the goodness of God. We'll grow together. We will grow up into God, but we will give of ourselves into the life of the church. Romans chapter 12, from verse 3, Paul writes, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. See, the Roman church really wrestled with this. The Roman church was originally a church of Jewish converts to Christianity. They believed they needed to follow the Jewish laws and commands and festivals, and they needed to live that way in order to be accepted by God. But the Jewish Christians, they were all kicked out of Rome. And when a new emperor came and invited them back, they arrived back at their church to find that Gentile, non-Jewish Christians had taken over the church. And there was this real wrestle in the church of those who were saying, well, we're from a Jewish background. We need to do things this way. And because we are God's original chosen people, we are the higher class. And the Gentile Christians who were then like, well, where does that leave us? We believe in grace and in freedom. And what Paul was writing to the church to say was this, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. We're all equal in the sight of God. And similarly, don't think of yourself too low. If you think that you're not good enough to be used by God, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has a place for you to serve in the life of the church. God has a purpose for you in your life. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, and don't think of yourself more lowly. In fact, view our relationship with one another as Christ does. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus gave himself, everything of himself for you and I. And he calls us to give everything of ourselves to him, that our lives would be worship. It's more than just singing. It's a lifestyle of worshiping him. So we will live lives of extravagant worship. We will gather together. We will pray together. And we are a body. What's the gift that God has given you? Where may God be calling you to give that into the life of the church? Maybe it's a talent. Maybe it's a resource. Maybe it's a gift. A friend of mine sadly passed away at Christmas time. In fact, it wasn't sad. It was fantastic. He was 94 years old, and he was waiting for the day where he would meet his maker face to face. And throughout his life, he had been able to release many, many evangelists into the world. And I sat with him one day, and I remember having a conversation with him, and his family were rooted in good Methodist philanthropic tradition of saying, we will work hard because our work is our worship. And as we do well out of that, we will reinvest it into the kingdom. That we'll work hard, we'll do the best we can, we'll invest it into the kingdom. And I sat with him one day and said, what is it that drives you? And he said to me, I believe that everyone needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. I believe we need to go out and tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm passionate about being an evangelist. He said, but I've never been any good at it. But God has blessed me. And so I can give to others to release them to do the evangelistic work. And my role in the journey is to release them. How is God calling you to release others in their God-given gifts? How may God be calling you to give of what you have, either to serve in the life of the church, for the coming of the kingdom, or to release others? John Wesley once said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. That is a life of extravagant worship. That is a life of growing up into God, and that is a life of giving in to the life of the church for the sake of the kingdom. And you know, when we grow up into God and when we give into the life of church, we can only go in one direction, and that is out. That's the place we're rooted. When we grow up into God, we are called to go out into the world. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we're in that place of growing up into God, we're in that place of giving of ourselves wholly to him, we may find ourselves overflowing. I believe God fills us with the power of his Holy Spirit for a purpose. We're not going to spend too long on this. I'd encourage you to listen back to last week if you weren't around for what it means to go. But Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus says, therefore go into all the world. He says, go. Therefore, go to all nations. And you know, our little patch of all nations, it's called Aintree Village. I believe God's placed us in this location for a deliberate purpose. And as we come with ideas and missional activities, I want to say, is it going to make a difference to the people in this community? If not, it might not be for us right now. But if it does, then let's have a go. Let's be people who have a go. Let's be people who have a go at taking the kingdom into the world. You know, I believe there's two things that are really important if we're going to see the kingdom come for us as the church as we go. Proximity and stability. Proximity and stability. Proximity is where we are. God has located us here for a reason. God has called us to be here for a reason. This is our proximity. We are in proximity to other people. I want to challenge you. Maybe you want to make your lives more in Aintree. Maybe some of you want to move to Aintree who don't live here. Maybe you want to move some of the activities that you do in your lives, not from where you are that's convenient, but maybe you want to join the gym that's near Aintree. Maybe you want to bring your kids to Cubs and Scouts in Aintree. Why? So that as a church, we have a visible presence through the week. It isn't just coming into the building, but is the proximity of who we meet. Proximity is really important, but so is stability. Stability says we will still be here, no matter what happens, no matter the mess people may make of their lives, we will still be here for them. we will still love them. We will still accept them. We will say you're welcome to come as you are. But our hope and prayer is that you leave different because you've encountered the living God. When the God of hope fills you, two things should happen. Firstly, you should be changed more into the likeness of Christ. People should see something different in you. And secondly, others should be drawn more to Christ. I want to ask you this morning, do people notice a difference in your life? Do people notice something different about you because you're a follower of Jesus? And when people spend time with you, are they drawn to the person of Jesus? Do they see something of the person of Jesus in your life? We will grow up into God. We will live lives of extravagant worship. We will root everything we do in prayer because we want to seek the heart of the Father. We will give into the life of the church, of our time and our talent and our resources, but also of ourselves. And we will go out into the world. We will be a people who our proximity is here, and we are people who have some stability. Some people who say we are rooted and grounded in the person of Jesus Christ. No matter what your life looks like, we believe God loves you, and we also will still be here for you. We'll grow, we'll give, and we'll go. Why don't we stand together?